For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on Unlimited Welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on Unlimited Welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.
All you homeowners have unique needs. Some feel the need to leave up holiday decorations year-round. Others have the need to use their garage as practice space for their new metal band. And because each homeowner has unique needs, GEICO helps you get the right coverage for your home and what's in it. That way, you get exactly what's right for you, even if your needs are unique. Get more with GEICO.
Hi, guys. You're very welcome to another podcast on NARCON. We have had trials and tribulations getting on here today to discuss the vile energy of the narcissist smear campaign and where that comes from, how it looks, what you can do to combat the smearing energy of the narcissist, and why the narcissist needs to do it, or what is behind a person smearing another person's name and telling lies about them and being vile about them and being cruel about them and trying to destroy them ultimately. So before I get into it, I'd like us to take a moment to really consider a person who's either in your family or you've worked closely with and formed a great friendship with and, you know, trusted and relied on, or a person who asks you to marry them and says they love you dearly, has children with you, goes into business with you, you know, tells you that they'll be there for you forever, that they love you so much. And on a dime, they turn into the absolute opposite of that person and become your arch enemy. Now, a lot of us have been so kind of enmeshed with narcissists, or come out of a relationship just with one, or had a parental narcissist, that we're in the vein of thinking of normalizing that type of relationship, so to speak. Particularly if we're in the throes of just coming out of the narcissistic relationship where we've been devalued, which is indeed part of the smear campaign. We're kind of taking that as just bad stuff, but normal. And it is absolutely abnormal. If you sit back and look at it objectively, a person that said they loved you suddenly sees all these dreadful things in you, tells people lies about you, and makes you out to be a really bad person. Now, the person with the problem there is that person. And we need to be able to pull ourselves back out of the personalization and the enmeshment and the illusion that the narcissist has set us up to believe in order to see it for what it is. It's murky excrement of the narcissist's spiritual energy. And it's not just you that they will do this to throughout their lifetime. They objectify human beings in order to make themselves feel better about themselves, make them feel empowered, because they don't feel happy. They feel empowered and in control. And they create various different paradigms and realities for themselves at any given time. They change the story of reality to suit their narrative. And therefore, they need what we would call smear campaigns and love bombing campaigns to make that reality reflect back to them what they want. So they manipulate other people's versions of reality also by using these tools and techniques. Now, I find that very freeing to understand that it is not essentially about you, that it's about the narcissist doing this in their lifetime to a lot of different people. And that's not to say we don't take accountability for a part we might play in a relationship. But the accountability that we need to take is that we stayed in a relationship where we were ultimately being abused, yet we only get to know that towards the end. So I suppose from that point of view, I'm just trying to say that in looking at the smear campaign, in looking at the narcissist's modus operandi, we're not being narcissistic ourselves in saying that we don't take accountability or blame for anything. In fact, most people that are with narcissists do too much introspecting and too much self-blaming. So just wanted to make that point for what it's worth. So we're going to get into the why the narcissist, specifics on what the narcissist gets out of smearing another person's name. But I did want to make that point in that it's very important to understand that this is part and parcel of the way a narcissist operates. And to sit back and to really look at what's happening without being triggered, because the narcissist needs to trigger you so that you partake in the smear campaign, and your partaking in it gives it validity. It gives it life. It gives it a story. It gives it sides. So why does the narcissist need to go on these smear campaigns? Well, one reason is that it's part of their regulatory cycle. There's very little in the behaviour cycle of the narcissists that is positive. The very top of the cycle is when a narcissist in any relationship will love bomb. And that's as positive as it gets. And even that positivity is vile, because the whole love bomb of a person is in order to manipulate them, to get them into the rest of the cycle where they can basically try and destroy them. So it's your initiation into destruction. But it's at the top of the cycle the narcissist will love bomb. And the smearing happens for the whole rest of it. The smearing happens when you're hooked in the relationship and the devaluation starts. That's the subtle smearing of you, to yourself, and also to family members, to build up for when the narcissist wants to discard you. They don't want to be seen as kind of, well, you know, you were in love. Like, why did you suddenly leave this person? Like, they have to build up to that with people that are in their inner circle that are going to support them afterwards. So they will be smearing your name outwardly during your devaluation. But your devaluation is subtle enough that you actually miss it until the end when you start to put boundaries in.
Your old or broken phone can let you down when you need it most.
Perfect.
But at Verizon, trade in any old phone from our top brands and get the most for it. Up to $2,000 in value for an amazing new iPhone 16 Pro with Apple Intelligence and a new line on my plan. And iPad and Apple Watch Series 10. That's like a 3-for-1. And you can get it on any plan. At Verizon, trade in your old phone for a brand new iPhone 16 Pro, iPad, and Apple Watch. The other guys won't give you that. Visit Verizon.com today. Additional terms apply. Service plan required for Apple Watch and iPad. Up to $2,000 value based on iPhone, iPad, and Apple Watch.
When you get the Planet Fitness Black Card, you can bring a friend anytime you work out. And now through March 13th, get your first month free when you join. You heard that right. Conquer the stair climber with your partner in climb. Enjoy a post-workout recovery session in the hydro massage. And do it all again with access to any of our 2,700 convenient locations. So, you coming? Get your first month free and all the perks with the PF Black Card for just $1 down, $24.99 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends March 13th. See club for details.
Americans love using their credit cards, the most secure and hassle-free way to pay. But D.C. politicians want to change that with the Durbin-Marshall Credit Card Bill. This bill lets corporate megastores pick how your credit card is processed, allowing them to use untested payment networks that jeopardize your data security and rewards. Corporate megastores will make more money, and you pay the price. Tell Congress to guard your card, because Americans lose when politicians choose. Learn more at guardyourcard.com.
When they discard you, that is the dumping part of the smearing of your name, and then the smear campaign will ensue, not always immediately after the discard, because narcissists often will want to discard shelve. In other words, discard keep, discard bank. They want you as an option when they go off into the Netherlands to not the Netherlands country, sorry, but into the ether to capture, into the jungle to capture other forms of supply to try them out if they haven't banked one already and lined one up or gone back to an old transitionary source of supply. But basically what they're doing is they're trying to find a new source of supply, but want to smear you just enough so that they could turn that around and come back to you. So say, you're crazy. We need space. They love space. One of the narcissist's favorite expressions and reasons for leaving a serious relationship is space. So they want to give you time to reflect on your issues. Okay. So they won't smear you to hell yet. They would consider smearing you to hell if they decided, when they decided to hoover you back in and you said, it's not happening, mate. The door is closed here. You're not getting back in. Off you go with yourself. Well, then you will get one hell of a smear campaign because you had the audacity. The audacity, you crazy person, to actually refuse the narcissist access to your life again. So that's often when the most vile smear campaign comes in. If they leave you and you go quite against them when they leave you, they will come hard on the smear campaign then because you're threatening their control, you're threatening their mask, and that cannot happen. So we're going to get into the reasons. So the first reason I have down is very a follow on from that. If the narcissist is in a small community with you or, you know, a town that's big enough kind of for word to spread or whatever, and they rely on a particular mask, like the good guy or the good gal, you know, such a lovely girl. Oh, she very huggy, you know, very huggy, lovely, lovely person. Or the guy is, yeah, he's a sound guy. You can rely on him. You know, you can rely on him. He's the great guy. He does great works for the community, etc. I think you know the picture. So if that's very important to the narcissist, and the narcissist has particularly like gone into middle age, and this has happened a few times, and people are going, well, maybe it's their problem and not all the people they left, and they need to preserve the mask. They have to preserve the mask, you know, lay on your issues, tell lies about you, give people a very bad impression of you. And they do this very well. That's in order to support their mask, to give them an excuse to dump you cruelly, to say they had to get away, they'd given you lots of chances and they'd supported you, but you were so vile that they just had to get away for their own safety, and they needed to take the children away for their own safety. And again, a lot of you will know the score, and it's absolutely disgusting and it's vile. So I'm with you in all of your emotion in relation to how bad narcissists can get and how destructive. So for their mask preservation in the community, the smear campaign must go ahead about you. That's one of the reasons. The other is your punishment because you changed in the relationship. You know, you had all these assets and you had all this generosity and kindness of spirit, which the narcissist, by the way, term is stupidity. And you didn't give it all up. You did not. You started to put in boundaries and you held on to, you wouldn't sign your house over and, you know, you held some money in your account and you didn't just let them have loads of affairs, you know, the score. So you're going to be punished for the impression the narcissist had of you in the beginning as being very controllable, and that didn't transpire. So you will be punished with a very bad smear campaign, because they're like the emotional intelligence of a 5-year-old. You stole their toys, so they're not going to be friends with you anymore, and they're going to tell everyone in the schoolyard that you're a bad person and that nobody should be your friend. And that's as simplified as it is in relation to how they feel. Except that they've learned a lot of adult nasty games and ways to go about not being your friend and getting everybody else not to be your friend, or as many people as possible, with lies. So the other thing, of course, is to control the trajectory and the narrative of the story, and to control you. And, you know, some people will say, well, I've had such a bad smear campaign. The narcissist has said so many bad things about me. I've had a court order, you know, getting them to stay away, or the narcissist took out a court order, a protection order, you know, against me, and I had done nothing. It was the exact opposite. And so they'll never come and hoover me. Honestly, they will, if they need to. It's all about the narcissist. They change reality. They change their opinion. They manipulate situations. They manipulate other people's realities as much as they can. So people are astounded sometimes when narcissists come back to hoover. But if they feel that you would be willing to take them back, that you're still controllable, and narcissists feel omnipotent and have a grandiose opinion of themselves, feel entitled, and they honestly believe that sometimes people will take them back. So it really depends on the narcissist themselves and in their circumstances. So I'll park there, that there for what it's worth. The third reason I have down is that if they leave you quietly and nicely with an amicable conversation, there's going to be absolutely no attention, very little attention. If they can make the meal of the discard last, so to speak, by a smear campaign and people coming to them saying, do you know, she said this, he said that, all this, what I call low level, low class, you know, base behaviour. Narcissists say they hate drama. In fact, any narcissist I think I've ever come across or have heard about in coaching, oh, hate drama, had it said to me myself. They are the biggest creators of drama you will ever come across. Because they live on it. They live on emotional output. And the more vitriolic, the more gossipy, the more vile the stories that they want to hear are people being affected emotionally by them. That is Christmas dinner and birthday dinner all in one go. So smear campaigns are the lifeblood of a narcissist. Okay. I have come to discover on the healing journey that life is about perspective, or the way to enjoy and get the most out of your life is about perspective. So obviously bad things will happen to us in our lives. It's part and parcel of life. But it is really essentially what you take from the experience and how you view it, what you do with it and how you go forward with it, that will make it into your reality. And I'm not saying that you will change reality like narcissists do and bend to their agenda. What I am saying is you have a choice. You have a choice of succumbing to a smear campaign. You have a choice of lying down and being destroyed. And I'm not saying any of this is easy. I'm not saying people do this easily. Or you can look at the upside of any situation and say, realistically, this is disgusting. This is very hard to combat. This is very hard to overcome. But I'm given this situation. So I've learned a lot from my past relationship with this person. I've learned a lot about myself. I've learned that I won't put up with crap behaviour anymore, that I've put some boundaries in. It's helped me to reflect on my past relationships, and it's helped me sit down and decide who I want to be going forward. One thing that the smear campaign will give you on the upside, if you choose to see it this way, is that it will give you the gift of clarity. And that is clarity around people who stand by you, clarity around people who come to you with the gossip from the narcissist. And that'll be flying monkeys in that category that we would call them in the narcissistic abuse community, recovery community. They can be flying monkeys that are thinking they're doing you some good by bringing you the information, but kind of are feeding off it a little bit themselves. Or they can be your family members saying, this is what the situation, this is what they're saying, and you need to ignore it and we need to go forward, but we need to be aware that it's happening. I have your back. And there's the people, flying monkeys of the narcissist, that will come and surreptitiously garner your reaction to this, because they're literally, let's put it in food terms, they're getting a cake from you to bring to the narcissist to nourish them and give them a hit. If they can say that, oh, she's devastated, she's in bits, she, you know, she doesn't know what to do, you know, she's going crazy, she's shouting and arguing and saying you're this and you're that. Again, emotional reaction, belief in the narcissist, caring what the narcissist says, giving the story validity, giving it a life. There's those type of flying monkeys. And the other people will actually do the narcissist's bidding. The other people will actually believe the narcissist's story wholly, because that's who they are. That's the energy they carry. It matches the narcissist's. And they will accost you in a store or your workplace and interfere with your life physically and actually come up and say to you, you're a horrible person. You know, I can't believe you would do this, buying wholly what the narcissist said, and the narcissist building a smear campaign army against you. So those are the type of things that happen in a word smear campaign, a defamation of your character, lies about what you did and didn't do, trying to get your children from you, you know, trying to get you to look like the bad person, like the abusive parent, just touching on that area. There's so many different ways and means narcissists have, saying you're a disreputable person when you're in your work is in a position where you need not to be a disreputable person. I know you get the picture. Whatever way it's going to affect you and trigger you, the narcissist is sure to go in that type of smear campaign. Obviously, if it's a criminal, you know, in terms of physically criminal or illegal smear campaign, you do need to go to the authorities. There's just no two ways about it. But I'm talking about managing in the next few steps, managing a verbal smear campaign that's basically telling lies and talking about you and gossiping about you, etc. So the gift of clarity is one to accept and to know going forward who the people are that you're surrounded with, who to get rid of going forward, and who to keep in your life. And not everybody gets that gift of clarity in a whole community or a bunch of people all at once. Sometimes in life it happens to us, you know, one by one we discover, well, that person really isn't our friend. But in this, it's the whole schmozzle. You're getting a real kind of good clear out. This is called spring cleaning of your acquaintances, friends and family members. But going forward, even if you're left with one person, at least if you know they have your back, you know, you have the security and comfort of going forward with a clean slate. So that is the way I would look on the smear campaign from the gift of clarity. Okay, so a smear campaign is literally bringing hell to you on earth. It is literally bringing a fire and hoping that once the narcissist sets the fire under you, that other people are going to throw fuel on it, but particularly you, that you are going to throw fuel by participating in the fire, by adding to the fire. The narcissist literally wants to roast you, and he wants or she wants you to contribute to your own roasting by participating. And what I said at the beginning of the podcast, the very fact that you would even counter something the narcissist said, in a lot of ways gives what the narcissist said a life. It kind of means that the narcissist is somebody who says something that you think has any basis in the truth and that needs to be refuted, if you see where I'm going with this. So my best advice in this particular circumstance is to not put any fuel on the fire. If somebody comes to you and says, "Do you know what the narcissist blah blah said about you?" You say, "Oh, it's not really appropriate to discuss things like that. And I hope that they don't sound like they're in a good place, and I will pray for them, or they have my compassion. I feel sorry for them," and then change the subject and talk to the person about themselves or whatever. So your reaction would tell the person a lot, and it would certainly tell the narcissist a lot if that went back to them. You weren't triggerable. You didn't throw a log or a piece of coal on the narcissist's fire to roast you further. You didn't kind of do a 50-50 on it. Well, she says that, he says that. No smoke without fire. You know, the two of them were as bad as each other. You didn't give anyone that credibility. You declined to participate. That is the most effective thing you can do with a smear campaign. And on the other hand, living, and this takes a great discipline, living the best life you can at this particular time, making progress, being seen out with friends, being with family, looking after your family, looking after your job, even making progress in your job, moving, you know, doing a lot of positive things for yourself, being in the gym, looking after your health. That doesn't tie in with the narcissists, you know. "Oh my God, she drinks a bottle of whiskey every day, and oh, he's a slob," or, you know, "Oh, they're so lazy, they don't work, they don't get on with any of their family, they've no friends." No friends is a great one of the narcissists. They isolate you as much as possible in the relationship, and then they say to you, "You've no friends." Oh God, it's unbelievable. It's just such a crazy, daisy, effed up place to be. You wouldn't wish it on a narcissist. You wouldn't wish it on your worst enemy, that relationship dynamic. You know, going into it blind and coming out with your eyes popping, literally, when the blindfold comes off. It's an experience. It's an experience for sure. So counteracting what's meant to happen to you in the smear campaign is meant to finish you off, is meant to really, you know, the devaluation gets you prepared to go on your knees. The discard gets you on your knees. The smear campaign is meant to whack you over the head so you're on your back. And getting up from being on your back takes a long time unless you get this in perspective as to the ridiculousness, the vileness and the darkness of the smearing energy of the narcissist and see it for what it is. This person of low value has this as their spiritual energy, as their makeup. And they're going to do it to other people as well. It's not about you even. It's about the narcissist getting people to believe in them, to believe they're of value. Because I guess they don't believe they're of value themselves. And that's sad. But what this channel is about is helping you survive the abuse of a narcissist. So looking after the narcissist themselves is a whole other story. This channel is about recovery. This channel is about education. Honestly, I believe we need really to understand that this personality type is very different to a normal person. They have no empathy. When they feel particularly threatened, actually by somebody they perceive subconsciously as superior to them, and they can't figure out why they perceive you as superior to them. But no matter what they do, and having coined you as being a stupid, gullible, kind, generous idiot, they can't understand that that's a strength and that you survive because of that. So something in them knows that they can't destroy you, and they can't figure that out because they've chosen the manipulative, controlling, canny, you know, I'm better than you. Obviously, I can destroy you because you're stupid. So when they can't, at the discard and you're still standing or you're still kneeling, they come back with the smear campaign and try and whack you over the head and say, well, that'll finish you off. And it doesn't. All I can say to you guys is karma's coming. Karma's coming for them. But if you can detach, you will save yourself. And if you can actually not just detach and recover, but if you can use the experience to gain a new perspective on life and on yourself and on your friends and on your family, and you thrive, I just consider that the best, most blessed success of an experience that you could possibly have. So with that, I would bid you farewell. I know some of you like to see himself, for anyone on a podcast audio, he is there. He was hiding behind me. Remy, are you going to say hello? Rem? You going to say hello? No? No. He's very sleepy. Okay, so that's it for now, guys. And I will see you again soon. And please take care if anyone's really going through it at the moment. As we always say, look at the comments. There are people out there who've been through it. I've been through it. A lot of people have been through it. You will get there. Don't give up. Bye for now. See you again soon.
For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.
All you homeowners have unique needs. Some feel the need to leave up holiday decorations year-round. Others have the need to use their garage as practice space for their new metal band. And because each homeowner has unique needs, GEICO helps you get the right coverage for your home and what's in it. That way, you get exactly what's right for you, even if your needs are unique. Get more with GEICO.